reading from the book of Ezra. At the time of the evening sacrifice, I, Ezra, rose in my wretchedness, and with cloak and mantle torn, I fell on my knees, stretching out my hands to the Lord my God. I said, "My God, I am too ashamed and confounded to raise my face to you. O my God, for our wicked deeds are heaped upon above our heads, and our guilt reaches up to heaven. From the time of our fathers, even to this day, great has been our guilt, and for our wicked deeds we have been delivered up, we and our kings and our priests, to the will of the kings of foreign lands, to the sword, to captivity, to pillage, and to disgrace, as is the case today. And now, but a short time ago, mercy came to us from the Lord our God, who left us a remnant and gave us a stake in his holy place. Thus our God has brightened our eyes and given us relief in our servitude. For slaves we are, but in our servitude, our God has not abandoned us. Rather, he has turned the goodwill of the kings of Persia toward us. Thus, he has given us new life, to raise again the house of our God and restore its ruins, and has granted us a fence in Judah and Jerusalem." Verbum Domini. Blessed be God, who lives forever. He scourges and then has mercy. He casts down to the depths of the nether world, and he brings up from the great abyss. No one can escape his hand. Praise him, you children of Israel, before the Gentiles. For though he has scattered you among them, he has shown you his greatness even there. So now consider what he has done for you, and praise him with full voice. Bless the Lord of righteousness, and exalt the King of ages. In the land of my exile, I praise him, and show his power and majesty to a sinful nation. Bless the Lord, all you his chosen ones. May all of you praise his majesty. Celebrate days of gladness and give him praise.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu
tuo. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them authority and power over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. As for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." Then they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Verbum Domini. A devout life with God, or a spiritual walk with Him, is all about relationship. One with love, in love. So here we are called, we are made to know, love, and serve the Lord. And in our relationship with Him, we are knowing the God who loves us unconditionally. And to know this love deeper, then we respond with love. And the fruit of this love is service. But as we all know, that having this devout life and growing in the Lord and knowing His love, serving Him more profoundly and actively, is a process. You know, a process of growth. And in this process of growth, you know, we who take up our crosses, we are denying ourselves. And in denying ourselves, we are learning to rely more on God. And as we see here in the scriptures today, the apostles of Jesus, the disciples now in this time of discipleship, you know, they've come to know Jesus. And they're knowing Him more as the time goes on. And as what we see in their interactions with Him, it is a process of growth. And so here in this gospel today, we see this process. When we see Jesus who instructs them and then tells them to go out and to proclaim the kingdom of God. And this could be a good lesson for us, especially as we strive to grow in our relationship with the Lord and as we work for Him in service and love of God and neighbor. So here are the disciples who have had some time with Jesus now. It hasn't been a long time. And Jesus has given them instruction, has given them teachings. You know, they had a very profound encounter with Him, you know, when He called them to Himself. Now we see this in Peter and James and John, Andrew and Philip, you know, these early disciples. You know, they were struck by the love of God, by His presence, His power, you know, His kindness and gentleness. And so here they are following Him, listening to Him. And Jesus is now at a point where He's taught them some things, and now He entrusts them to go out and spread the message. So He gives them these instructions on what to do. Well, it can appear really, really strict here, you know, but this is God doing something. He tells them, He says, "Okay, for your journey, take nothing for the journey. No walking stick, no sack, nor food, no money. So, well, hey, this sounds very difficult. You know, what are we to do? Now, these, of course, are men who have worked, you know, who are laborers, you know, such as Peter, you know, the fishermen. They knew how to make a living. They knew what was required in making a living and to live and to work and to spend money. And there you go on. Now they're saying, go out with nothing at all. So here Jesus is working in them, and here there now is a process of deeper detachment and relying on God. So now they are believing God that they will be provided for. So this requires trust in the Lord. And God is doing something within them. But it's part of the process here. And then eventually, later on, when we look at Luke chapter 22, Jesus is then instructing them again about going out and proclaiming the kingdom. Now, this time, he's assuring them that they're going to go out in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, they go out with the gifts of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, in the person of Christ, as priest. But then he tells them that they can take a bag, they can take a stick with them. He says that they can have things for the journey. Because then the mission is going to be much more difficult. So here, see this process. It's harder. It seems harder in the beginning. Again, God is doing something. And now we can look at our own lives, our own walk with God. See, it is a process of surrendering. We hear the words of St. Paul. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, make yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to the Lord. See, here we come to the Lord. We surrender ourselves, and many of us have did that. Of course, it's a constant invitation to those who haven't, who are just kind of maybe watching out there for the first time, channel surfing or scrolling on the internet. Jesus invites you. He's always inviting us closer to himself. It's a constant invitation to know his love deeper, and we will spend a whole eternity knowing the love of God deeper and deeper, more profoundly. Because his love is just that great. He is the source of all love. Love himself. So here is this invitation. And here we are now surrendering to him. And yes, you know, we may make an initial yes. And as we go forward, we find that, of course, you know, it always begins with a little joy, a little excitement in there. You know, motivation seems to come a little easier, but God is doing a work in this. But as time goes on, we can see that sometimes God takes things away, that the journey is almost like uphill. It's harder, you know, and the motivation now is not all there. No, and then so God is doing something. And these are the times that we usually do not like much. It's the dryness. It's the wilderness. It's a whole desert experience. And even spiritual darkness. No, this is hard. But yet God is doing something in it. And many times we can feel that when we are in this dryness or darkness, that we've drifted away from the Lord. All of a sudden, you know, in front of us is ourselves, particularly our weaknesses. And we learn that we're not as holy as we thought we are. You know, that we find in ourselves certain weaknesses that are popping up. know, things that we haven't fully given over to the Lord. But this is part of the process. We can think we're going backwards, but God is really bringing us closer to himself. Because as we get closer to Jesus, who is all light, he illuminates the darkness in us. Not to condemn us, but in love for us, so that we can humbly accept, acknowledge who we really are. And when we see who we really are, we see what's getting in the way of us knowing God's love deeper. And, you know, even in this time, as we're going through this darkness, you know, we may not feel certain things, consolations, we have desolations, you know, the cross gets heavier, the suffering gets more difficult, whether it's internal or exterior, there's more persecutions and things like that. But what else is happening? We're going further in living the mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to see. So in the hardest times or the darkest times are really some of the best times, because that's when we come to live on the Lord and to live on grace and to look at the words that Jesus gives to St. Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And to live on those words, to call upon the promises of God. And some way, somehow, God brings us through the darkness, through the wilderness. And there is healing in this process. There's restoration. Now, this is really an experience in the glory of the Lord. And then we'll go through it again and again and again. But we're always being renewed. Now, the Lord is always doing something. And so, brothers and sisters, we now go forward, knowing that we have a God who loves us, who's doing a work within us, who wants us to be close to him for now and for all eternity. And so we surrender ourselves further to him, knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in us, and doing our best to live the life God has set before us in our relationship and in deeper surrender, denying ourselves for love of God and love of neighbor. God bless you all.